We're so glad to have Senator Mike Patton with us. He represents the 4th Legislative District in the Great Valley of Spokane. Senator, great to be with you today.
Well, it's nice being with you folks again.
Yeah, thank you so much. And hey, there's something we've been talking about here and wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is a story that a lot of folks are talking about, that there's a repeat offender who was convicted of killing his girlfriend in a DUI crash, and he was resentenced to 33 years. And you've been really tracking this, and I want to get your sense of what is happening with this, and what are your thoughts on this resentencing?
Yeah, well, I think you're talking about Robert Jackson. Robert Jackson was in prison back in 2016 when the governor's people in the Department of Corrections let out 3,000 people early. They said it was a computer glitch. There was an investigation done. But in any event, he got out early, and he should have been in prison, and ended up killing his girlfriend. He has a very bad criminal record, a history of a number of offenses. We've had reports that he was very abusive, physically abusive to his girlfriend. And he crashed the vehicle in the parking lot in Bellevue of the apartment complex where she lived and took off. And her 13-year-old son discovered the body. Now, this is somebody that was sentenced to life in prison because he had 3 serious violent felony offenses. And robbery in the second degree was considered one of those, along with the homicide case, the Hicker homicide that he had. And other offenses. But the legislature mistakenly, in my view, took second-degree robbery out of the three-strike list of crimes. And they didn't do it just for the future. They did pass a bill the year before in 2020 for the future, prospectively. But in 2021, they made I consider a horrendous mistake of doing this retroactively and going back into 100 cases when the circumstances were different. Witnesses that were available then weren't now. And in addition to going back into it, when they do that, they re-victimize and re-traumatize the family. So Lindsey Hill's family was extremely upset about this resentencing. He went from life in prison to 33 years. He'll get credit for the 5 or 6 years he served, recently, and he may get other time off in the future. But the family, you know, was very upset about this. And this isn't the only case where this happened, but it's one of the worst cases, and there was a straight party line vote in the Senate. Well, I mean, we argued and argued. We offered amendments to make this discretionary by the prosecutor to not make it retroactive and to put it up to a vote of the people. But all those amendments were turned down, and then it was passed on 28-21 vote in the Senate and 52-46 in the House, and Governor Inslee signed this. So we see the consequences, and Mr. Jackson should still be serving a life sentence in my view. So we need to change that. We need to no longer allow the retroactivity.
Now, I got to imagine, Senator, that some of your colleagues in the legislature might who voted for this might be saying, "Oh my goodness, this was a mistake. I can't believe maybe we need to relook at this." What are you hearing from your colleagues who had a different view on this when you voted?
Well, most of what I've heard is silence. They have not wanted to comment on this, including the sponsors. Now, the chief sponsor, not too long after this, got a job with the Department of Corrections. The governor appointed her as the women's prisons. I mean, she sincerely believed this was the right approach, and these people being too long a sentence. But I'm sure there's others that did not expect the sentences to be changed. And then this other case down in Vancouver, Washington, with Warren Russell, who actually murdered a 14-year-old girl and is going to be re-sentenced later this month, you could argue is even more egregious than the Robert Jackson case. But I'm sure some of them are having second thoughts. I just got to believe it, because the guy down in Vancouver lured these teenagers, 13, 14-year-olds, to his apartment, giving them free alcohol and drugs. And then when all but one of the young girls were gone, he tried to make sexual advances on her. She resisted, and he killed her.
Wow.
And now he's going to get out early because one of the three strikes was robbery two. And the prosecutor down there, Mr. Sinescu, he followed what the law was at the time. He didn't expect the legislature later to come and after the fact change the law. I mean, that's why I think it's reprehensible. I mean, I was a judge for 12 years to change things retroactively in the criminal law. It just isn't meant to be. And it was, I think, a huge mistake by the legislature and by the governor.
Now, Senator, I got to believe that there you probably have some friends who are on the other side of the aisle who maybe you reached out to just privately and said, hey, look at this. Look what's happening. Have you talked to anyone who on the other side of the aisle, just even privately, about the situation?
No, I really haven't. I do know from being on other interviews that I think there's seven sponsors that none of them wanted to come forward and defend their position. So, I mean, maybe that is a sign that they have second thoughts about it and maybe realize the horrible consequences of changing the law were. I think it will probably be a factor for some people in how they vote here in November on who they're going to support or not. But, yeah, it really... It, like I say, really needs to be changed, and we just should have never. The thing that bothers me also is the year before when it's done prospectively, I might not agree with that because, or I might. But, I mean, the point is at least it's done for the future. It's not upsetting all these cases in the past where the families have been involved and they don't have to be re-traumatized. And you know, what do you say to a Lindsay Hill or her family? I mean, to her family or to the family of this Chelsea Harrison down in Vancouver? I mean, this is reprehensible to me. I feel very strongly it's an abomination that this happened. It seems to me so unjust and unfair, and I hope we can make the changes, and people will look at that next year when the legislature convenes.
Yeah, wow. We're talking to Senator Patton about this unfortunate incident happened with Robert Jackson. Senator Patton represents the 4th Legislative District in Spokane. We got to go to a quick break, but we'll be right back on Live from Seattle. Welcome back to Live from Seattle. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and thanks to Senator Mike Patton, the Spokane Valley, joining us, talking about Robert Jackson, his resentencing from life to 33 years. It's a result of a bill that weakened the state's three strikes law. And I wanted to ask you, Senator, what's next? What are you going to propose? What are you hoping for? What are you aiming to do now in light of this?
Well, it's a difficult situation. We'll see what we can do. I'd like to be able to put a stop to the retroactivity, but I don't know without further research, you know, if that would be challenged in court now that the law has been passed. Sometimes it seems it can only go in one direction. But this isn't the only thing out there. I mean, we have, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with the big dispute over legislation that made it far, far more difficult for law enforcement to pursue criminals, where they now have to see almost the crime being committed to pursue them, and completely reversed what the previous standard was of reasonable suspicion. Now they got to have probable cause to pursue them. That needs to be changed. And in addition, the Democrats passed legislation, in effect, decriminalizing felony drug possession. If we got fentanyl streaming into our country illegally, a lot of it through the Chinese and the Mexican cartels coming in, and our folks are dying of overdoses in record numbers, and this is now decriminalized. So if you have possession of fentanyl, all that happens is the law enforcement said, well, maybe you ought to get treatment, but there's no follow-up, no real accountability, and they get two chances of that happening if somehow somebody has kept a record. And, of course, people go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And this is highly unlikely, but should there be a third time, then they get a misdemeanor, which is only up to 90 days in jail. What had been a felony, where they'd been in the state prison system for over a year if they were convicted. And I certainly believe in tempering justice with mercy, but at the same time, we have to have accountability. We have to be thinking of the victims. We have to be thinking of our other citizens, where these are repeat offenders and have had previous chances to make amends and to turn their life around and not continue with their criminal behavior, but have chosen to do that, to continue with their criminal behavior. And that's why the three strikes law passed to begin with in the 90s. Overwhelmingly by the citizens of our state, by the voters. So, I mean, there are a number of different things, and they've all kind of gone together. They've, you know, let a lot of prisoners out early, out of the state prisons in our area, and had other problems with the prisons that are ongoing. They haven't treated the prisoners correctly. They haven't provided, the Department of Correction hasn't provided adequate medical treatment, and they hired, at the Moreau prison, they hired the medical director who didn't meet their own qualifications that they set out. And unfortunately, one of the prisoners died of cancer and never could get any treatment despite asking for it from the prison administration. So there's a lot of problems out there with the criminal justice. Not all of them can be solved, but we need to work at it. And it is why so many law enforcement people have asked for changes. There were some minor changes in the 21 session, but a lot of the major problems still remain. And we're gonna have to deal with them. In the meantime, crime has gone up tremendously, and businesses have pulled out of areas of cities in Seattle and elsewhere because it's not safe for employees to work there. And we see in our area, in the Spokane area, the homelessness problem just get out of hand. And there's an area where 700 people have been, and They just put a fence in, but you know, it the crime is increased there, and folks need to deal with they need treatment, but they need some boundaries. And my way of thinking, places like the Union Gospel Mission are really what the answer is, and they have rules, they have regulations, but they treat people with compassion and with love, and they want to get them a job, and they want to return them to being productive members of society. And I think that's the philosophy that we've got to develop more and more in our society.
Senator, you mentioned earlier about the inmates who got released. There was a computer glitch. Was that investigated? What came of that? Why did that happen?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was involved. I actually chaired the investigation back in 2016, and the vice chair of the committee then was former Senator Steve O'Bann from the Tacoma area. And it was a fairly significant thing, and that we hired the legislature approved it. We hired the former FBI agents to investigate, and we put out a major report and called for a number of changes, some of which have been implemented, but some haven't. One of our top recommendations was that Department of Corrections' number one priority has to be public safety, and we won that in statute. That's never happened. We did call for a ombuds, and we wanted the ombuds to represent the inmates and prisoners, but also be available to employees of the Department of Corrections for the whistleblowers and try to give them protection so that they weren't retaliated against for blowing the whistle on some misdeeds going on within the Department of Corrections. Well, they passed a bill, but they passed the bill that put all that under the governor's office, where we had asked that it be an independent agency with a nonprofit, you know, organization running it, like other ombuds for other departments and state government are. So what has happened, they actually hired a lady that did an outstanding job, almost too good, because she pointed out a lot of these problems in the Department of Corrections and gave reports. Well, then she left, and the governor appointed his policy director, and the first thing they did was kill or spike, whatever. They wouldn't release the 8 reports that were in the pipeline to be released. So there was some investigative journalism done, and some of that has come out, but it just shows the need that should have been independent. And so these are some of the things had other recommendations, and had a bill that passed the Senate and was scheduled to pass the House, and they pulled it at the last minute because the governor was concerned, and he got to the Speaker of the House, and they pulled that bill. But there's still a lot of work to be done to reform the Department of Corrections. There's an awful lot of work to try to restore public safety for our citizens as a top priority, to support law enforcement. It's such a difficult job, and they go where a lot of us really would not want to go. They go into danger all the time. They risk their lives for us. Really a noble thing that they do, and they should have more support. Not that they don't make mistakes, and people should be held accountable for their mistakes, but we've gone, in my mind, way beyond that, where we've almost made law enforcement the bad people and talk about defunding them and reducing some of their streams of revenue and things like that that are going on in cities around the state.
Let me ask you something, Senator. Today in the Seattle Times, you were talking just a couple minutes ago about public safety and health, mental health. And here in the Seattle Times today, there was a story the headline is researchers warn of mental health risks of high potency cannabis. Now, I mean, this, it should be followed with a, in parentheses, no duh. Because I mean, common sense says if you take drugs, you're going to have mental health issues. That's just common sense, right? If you take high potency drugs, you might have mental health problems. Now, we're in a state here. This kind of really tipped off to me recently, where here this last week in King County, our King County executive held a press conference along with, you know, our Seattle mayor and many of the Puget Sound political elite, and they celebrated that they're going to have some new funding. It's like a $1.5 billion plan to treat mental health. As we know, it's a significant issue, right? I mean, it's probably the issue of our time as we see it. And you mentioned the camp that's over in Spokane currently, which is the largest homelessness camp in the state. And so here we are. They announced this proposal. It's going to be $1.5 billion, which is great. We need a lot of mental health services without a doubt. But it's going to be funded by property taxes, right? That was the big announcement. So new property tax uptick to fund the $1.5 billion mental health bill here. And, you know, it just really dawned on me. It's like, man, this is an interesting cycle that we've created for ourselves here. So we've, here in Washington, you know, we've legalized drugs. You know, we did that back in 2014. Certainly we've legalized it in the sense that you can pretty much do any kind of drug you want in the state with absolutely no consequence whatsoever. In fact, some good friends of mine, actually, who we've had good, robust discussion about, who were elected officials here in Seattle, wanted to put a heroin injection site, you know, in Seattle, and it still may happen. They've been looking into it, and we have great, you know, we have a clean needle program. So we do whatever we can to make it very easy to take drugs in our state with absolutely no consequences whatsoever, which, again, common sense tells you, you take drugs, you're going to have some mental health issues, and you could potentially lose a job, and you could potentially end up homeless and enter into a life of crime. So here, the cycle that kind of dawned on me, it's like, man, we've legalized drugs, we've legalized criminal activity. We've now because of this, we're seeing this incredible spike in mental health issues. Seattle Times talks about it today in the printed edition of the Seattle Times. And so to help this, now we're going to tax the taxpayers even more to get us out of this position. It's just, I don't even know the words for this, Senator, to see this cycle. Yeah. Our politicians have created the problem, and now we're just going to continue to be taxed until kingdom come to get us out of the problem. Can you speak on this? Why is this happening?
Well, I mean, and the thing is that the problem has gotten worse under these same folks that have been in leadership positions in King County and Seattle. No, they're not all of them, but the ones that seem to have the power and the majority. And we've seen, like you said, the spike in all these mental health problems. We've also seen when the drugs, people have to get their drugs, and a lot of them pay for drugs. It's not like the drug gangs have stopped. In fact, they've been emboldened by these change in the laws and the attitudes and no consequences. So they get involved with all sorts of property crimes. And of course, the legislature had a $15 billion surplus last session, and all that got spent. Some of it should have gone for mental health, but some of it also should have gone maybe for property tax relief. I don't know specifically about the property taxes in Seattle and King County, but over here, until very recently, the evaluations have gone high. We've had a hot real estate market, and not directly tied, but indirectly, the taxes have gone up. So there's some senior citizens that literally are taxed out of their homes that they've been in for a long time. So I think raising taxes has some negative consequences also when they're already so high, and we also have a huge push, the Democrats want it, for an income tax in the state that's being litigated. Hopefully the courts will realize their version is unconstitutional, which has been the way it's been ruled for decades in the past, but it's hard to say for sure. So I just think we need to rethink our whole approach there, and I want to support good programs. I mentioned the Union Gospel Mission. There's other groups over here. We have a group called Family Promise that does a wonderful job of taking whole families and treating them and returning them to productive lives in our society. That's what we need to do. And you've got to, people that have come out of addiction through faith-based organizations. I just saw a tremendous film last night on Mother Teresa of Calcutta and what she did and what her sisters have done. But there's all sorts of groups like that, and they are showing love and care and compassion along with treatment can do it. But and they have the motivation. Some of the people, the Union Gospel Mission, they have the motivation. And I think we've got to start looking at some of that. Government certainly has not done a good job handling these problems.
We're grateful for your public service and all the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. And it's not just me. It's all sorts of people and all of your listeners that day in and day out do good things, promoting, like you said, the common good. And there's a lot of good people in the world. And, you know, we just need to encourage goodness and, I guess, discourage evil. It sounds kind of simplistic, but there is definitely a battle out there between good and evil. But it's been great being on the show, and, you know, I certainly enjoy talking to you, and hopefully your listeners enjoyed hearing some of the discussion.
Senator, we really appreciate you joining us on Live from Seattle today. Thanks for being with us.
You bet. And we'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Thank you so much.
It's Senator Mike Patton, Spokane, the 4th Legislative District.